Started the month of Elul, Sunday, and Elul is a time when we know it's the last month of the year, and we want to get in high gear for Rosh Hashanah. So we know the Yom Adin is coming, Yom Kippur is coming, and we want to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom appropriately. And it marks the passage of another year. X number of years in this world, and another one has passed. So we wish to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom at a different level. And that's really what's most fundamental. The Gron Mishlei writes that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives us life for what reason? Not to run around the track as we did the last year. And do the same mitzvahs that we did last year. If that is all we're going to do, the Rabbeinu Shalom would not give us another year of life. A year of life is given to us so that we should raise our level in some measure above what it was before. But merely to go around, you know, I did the same sitting in the sukkah, and I ate matzah, and I lit the Hanukkah licht. No differently than last year, and the year before, and the year before. And the Rabbeinu Shalom would say, then what do I need you in this world for? You did everything you're going to do. The Rambam writes, it's true in the realm that he writes it, and it's true in other realms too. The Gemara on Shabbos, Daf Kaf Lamed Gimel, derives a keli v'anveyu. And there's a question what the root of anveyu is. It's an unusual word in the Hebrew language. And anveyu could mean from the lotion of noi, beautify. That's one interpretation. If anveyu is that I should be similar to the Rabbeinu Shalom. I should be similar to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the Gemara derives that just as the Rabbeinu Shalom is a Rachum V'chanum, so we're also supposed to be Rachum V'chanum. The Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, quoting another source, tells us that just as the Rabbeinu Shalom is a Malbish Arumim, as we have at the very beginning of Chumash Bereishis with Adam HaRishon, and the Rabbeinu Shalom is a Kovar Mason. He was the undertaker for Moshe Rabbeinu, but Yikbar Eisav Agai. So similarly, we have to be Malbish Aruma, we have to be Kovar Mason. So interestingly, one focus is on Mahu Rachum Af Atahaya Rachum Chanam, is on internally. The Rabbeinu Shalom is in essence a Rachum Chanam. So we have to be a Racham B'chanam. But it doesn't suffice merely to be a Racham B'chanam. There's a person that's a Racham B'chanam, but he doesn't do anything for anyone. He's a very compassionate person, but that's where it ends, in his heart. Halacha l'maaseh, you're banging his door, and you're hungry, you need a slice of bread, he doesn't answer the door. But he's a very compassionate person. He'll go back inside and he'll cry the whole night, he didn't have what to eat. But that didn't get him to open up the door to give you a slice of bread. There's another guy in the world who's harsh by nature. He's harsh. He's a tough guy. Not very feeling. But a seichel tells him, listen, if a guy's outside and doesn't have something to eat, you have to give him something to eat. So it's not a compassionate decision. It's an intellectual decision. Nebuch, there's a guy who's hungry. He needs to eat. You know, you can't leave a guy hungry. So intellectually, I arrive at the decision I should give him something to eat. So at least the poor man doesn't go away hungry. But he's not a compassionate person. When the Torah told us, Mahu Rachum, what it's telling us is two things, the House of Brisk says, that we have to internally be a compassionate and feeling person, and externally be a person of action, to do the things that are necessary to assist those in need. And these are really the two essentials of mitzvahs. There's the external factors and the internal factors. The Shari Kedusha writes the following. He asks a very, very famous question, and there could be many answers, even though some diametrically opposed to his view. But from his view of the mitzvahs in the Torah, he does not find a particular mitzvah of having midas tovus. There's no mitzvah for midas. The Ramchal would beg to differ, because the Ramchal says it's part of a halachta bedrochov, it's a pasuk. But this is not the way the Shari Kedusha learns. He says, why are there no mitzvahs on midas? All types of mitzvahs in the Torah, but no mitzvahs for midas. He says, you know why? He said, because preceding the mitzvahs, the platform upon which all the mitzvahs stand, are midas. You can't even get to the midas, to the mitzvahs, unless you first address the midas. So this precedes all the taryag mitzvahs, is the assumption that we're going to come to the table with midas tovus. So in effect, what the Shari Kedusha is telling us, that there are external actions that we have to do, but they have to reflect internal values. And to the extent that the internals are not consistent, they will ultimately reflect themselves in external inconsistencies. You know, a person that's seichel tells him that he has to be compassionate. No, he doesn't have what to eat. You have to give him a meal, whatever. Fine. But internally, it's not exactly the way he's constituted. He's a harsh and difficult person. So Yobo Hayoyim, that he'll get upset at this guy. Oh, this guy knocked while I was, you know, in the middle of eating supper. And the chutzpah. So he'll go and berate the guy. They won't give him anything. Why? Because emotionally within, he's not there. Since he's not there, he tends to be a harsh person, so the harshness will come out. You know, another day, nothing irritated him, so the harshness was suppressed, so the seichel did its thing, it took care of the guy. So what we have to do in terms of the mitzvahs is that to address not only the externals of the act of the mitzvah, but the internals, the midas, which affect how we're going to do those mitzvahs. And that's really what the Rambam said in terms of mahurach. In midas, there are two things. This is the internal part and the external part. The internal part, what I actually am as a person, and then externally, how I carry it out. So this really is the challenge. The challenge of the mitzvahs is how to coordinate both what's internally and externally. Now, that's ultimately what the Gra is addressing. When the Gra tells us that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us another year of life so that we should raise our service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to conquer vistas that we haven't conquered until now, the Gra is not talking any external aspects. For a person's a pious Jew, he put on tefillin every day, he ate matzah, he observed Shabbos. But internally, where is he? Does he have the deepest and fullest appreciation of all of the mitzvahs and all of Avodas Hashem? So the Goyen is calling upon us to internally raise our level. So the externals achieve a different level of service of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Now here comes Rav Yisrael Salanta. And Rav Yisrael Salanta, one of these past years, Yom HaNevi'im, I brought proof to this from a medrash, to the principle that he elucidates in Rav Yisrael. If we look at tshuva, tshuva seems to very, in a certain regard, seems to be a very black and white thing. I did something that I shouldn't do. So there are varied steps to the process of tshuva, which we will discuss another time. And after I complete those steps, and I accept upon myself in the future not to do it, so the Rambam writes, so how do we determine if the person did tshuva? What's the determinant? Well, does he arrive in the same place, in the same situation that he was in when he sinned. And this time he doesn't sin. Not in a different situation, under different circumstances, but in the very same circumstances. And last time he blew it, and now he came, and then he stands up to the challenge of the situation, and he doesn't lose himself. So in that regard, tshuva seems to be a very black and white type of thing. Now, if that's the case, so we're in a lot of trouble. Because it's hard to do tshuva readily to such an extent. You know, we're not, the Alter of Slobodka said, I've seen many people polish themselves over the year. They're more refined than they were in earlier years. But change, I rarely see change. The way I saw a person 30 years ago, 30 years later is the same. Change is very difficult. So if we're to take a picture of tshuva, that tshuva means a total metamorphosis, then it's going to be pretty hard. You know, that's a very, very big goal. Not easy to accomplish. Right? And to such an extent, the Rambam writes, the Rebbeinu Shalom understands the essence of each and every one of us. The Rebbeinu Shalom will say testimony, right, that I won't sin again in this area. That's a pretty big demand. So Rabbi Saul of Salon tells us the following. And it's truth is, it's extremely consistent with what the Gro wrote. Tshuva is a process. You don't complete tshuva so very readily. Rabbi Saul Salanta said about himself, he was obviously a man of iron will. He said that I spent 40 years of my life trying to refine, to change one midah, one aspect of one midah, one aspect of my personality. I spent 40 years of my life trying to change it. And he said, just to put it in perspective, that in his perspective, it's easier to learn the whole entire Shas than it is to change one Bida. Okay. So what is it? Rabbi Yisrael tells us, our Asik is to start the job. Start the job. Not to be mired in stasis, but rather to move forward. Momentum. Even if it's a small amount of momentum, but to get in gear and start to move. Once we start to move forward, we enter a new realm. In Shemayim, when they look down, right, so the sinful people can wind up with Midas Adin. The people that do tshuva can wind up with Midas Aracham. So what happens to most of us that are in between? You know, we want to do tshuva. We may start the process of tshuva, but who says we're ready to finish the process? Who says we're ready to finish the process? So Rabbi Yisrael says something that he calls begeder oisik tshuva. There's a person that realizes that he has what to do in this world. He has to accomplish something. He has to achieve a metamorphosis. So he puts himself in gear. Did he arrive where he wants to yet? No. He has a long and rocky road until he gets there. But he put himself in gear. So that means he's attentive to his responsibilities in this world. He's not ignoring, denying his responsibilities. He acknowledges that I have a responsibility. I have to do something. And that itself, he says, is enough to invoke the Midas HaRachma, that the Rebbeinu Shalom has Rachma upon him. Just by the fact that he puts himself in gear. And this, Ravoisa, I believe, is the yisoid of what Elul has to be. We have to accept a few realistic things that we can accomplish. Maybe not easily, but that we can accomplish, are within grasp, and give our full attention to those things, And we have, Baruch Hashem, a whole month of Elul to start implementing them. So by the time Rosh Hashanah comes, we have something to show for it. Some progress to show. In all different types of ways. I'll just give some examples, but I don't mean any of them to be the example. Each one of us knows where we would like to strengthen ourselves and what's realistic for ourselves. You know, in the video that they had on Tisha B'Av, Rosh Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, Rosh Shiva of Philadelphia, talked about the facts of that in his yeshiva they reviewed the halachas of Lashon Hara a few times each year. It's part of the ongoing course of the yeshiva. So ultimately what that means, a person that wants to be more careful about Lashon Hara should accept upon himself and learn more halacha from Sefer Chofetz Chaim every day, every other day. But the yisoid is to be persistent. That's where we go off the rails. We're flighty. You know, today I'm interested in this. 3 weeks later I'm bored with it. I forget about it. 3 months and I'm interested in something else. And that goes for another 3 weeks. But that's not the way to get any place. Chaim Shmulevitz, that's how I described it in this fashion. He used the motion for something else. He says a guy takes the tea kettle and he puts it on the fire. And after 3 minutes, it starts to get warm. He closes the fire. Then he comes back 15 minutes later. Everything is cold. He puts it on for 3 minutes again. Closes it. He says, he could do that forever. The water's never getting hot. You know, you need to be persistent. That's what we all need to do, is persistence. And many, many years ago, I was coming back from Eretz Yisrael, the late 70s. And I got stuck in England for 6 days because of an airline strike. Kitzahadvarm. So I wound up for a few days in the house of a distant relative of my Rebbetzin, Rabbi Shalom Ashkenazi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was a Rav in N16 in Stamford Hill. So I saw each day he had a storm, whatever, how much Chazorah, Gomorrah, Shulchanorah, whatever. And as he completed, he took out a little book and he made a little X, a little check mark, you know. Crossed it off. Today it was done. And that's the way he lived, day by day. He demanded of himself accountability, that he has something he has to do today, and he's going to do it, and he's going to have a record of it. He won't be able to, you know, wonder 3 months from now if he did it or not. No, it's going to be written black and white if it was done or it wasn't done. But persistence. So the yisoid of Rav Yisrael is not to attempt, in fact, to achieve superhuman changes. And in fact, Rav Yisrael writes the following, very interestingly, consistent with this. And this is a Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara in Menachos says the following. A person didn't do mitzvah tzitzis properly. Right? So according to the Torah, part of the mitzvah is tcheilas, a shaila in the Rishonim, how many threads of tcheilas there are, all different shitas, at least three different shitas. And then there are white threads. So the Gemara in Menachos says that a person will be taken to greater task for not putting in the white threads than for not putting in the tcheilas. Why? It's the same mitzvah. So the Gemara says very simply, the white threads don't cost anything. They cost a few pennies. So what excuse did a person have that he didn't put in the love of the white threads and the tzitzis? Tcheilas is expensive. Cost him a nice piece of change. So at least he has some teretz. You know why he didn't do it? It was cheap. You know, he didn't want to spend so much money. But at least he has some logical reason why he did what he did or why he didn't do what he didn't do. But what rationale can he possibly provide that he didn't spend a few cents for the white threads? So Rabbi Yisrael derived from this the following, that within each realm of the averus that there may be, because Chazal tell us the different levels of kapara that are necessary, but within each realm what's most significant and most important are the easiest things to correct, not the most difficult things to correct. A person has, within each area of his mitzvahs, things he'd like to do better. Some are very hard because they run very counter to his nature. And some are relatively easy. You know, there's a guy, he can't get up in the morning. For him to get out of bed, it's Kriyas Yamsu five times over. That's the way he's constituted. Good. So you ask why he doesn't daven to live at Tzibra. Well, listen, it's, you know, he's supposed to come, but it's hard. Doesn't succeed. Good. But so, of course, listen, when you're ready, come to shul. You have to talk in the middle of davening too. That's not so difficult to do something. You're right, you know, to get up. A person that's not a morning person, is not disposed, you know, to get up at the early hour of the morning to go to shul. So, listen, it's not correct, but at least there's a good reason for it. But now you came to shul. You know, what did I used to tell my Talmidim the following. I said, listen, if you had to choose between Gemara and basketball, maybe you'd choose basketball. You'd rather be on the basketball court playing with your friends and sitting in front of everyone, maybe. But I said, that's if you cut the day of school and you went to play basketball, so at least I understood what you did. You felt you have a better time there and more enjoyable, so you did it. I understand what you did. But today, where are you? You're in class, you didn't cut, you're in front of the Rebbe, in front of the Gemara. So now what? You're not playing basketball anyhow. And you're here, so shouldn't you learn? You know, the realization that, you know, okay, listen, there are things that are difficult for me to do. But when I finally do show up, so use that time wisely. Use that wisely. So that's what Rabbi Saul says. Rabbi Saul says that in Shemayim, they'll be most demanding of the things that we could have readily fixed. Like, why didn't you bother to fix it? You could readily fix it. Why you didn't fix the major obstacles in life? Okay, that's a problem. But nevertheless, why we didn't fix it, there's a very ready answer why we didn't fix it. It was hard to fix. You're right. What was easy to fix? Why didn't you do that at least? Why didn't you do that at least? So that's the focus that we have to have in Elo. The focus in Elo is to get in gear. To start pushing forward. And things that are within grasp, but they need persistence. We have to be persistent. We have to demand of ourselves day by day that we do something about them. And the truth is, the best way really is to keep some measure of written record of what we want to do, and written record day by day if we succeed. Because when we look back and we succeed, it gives us tremendous momentum. You know, I've done Baruch Hashem, you know, Shnayim Mikra for many, many years. But back in Tov Shin Samach Aleph, I came to a new idea. And that is, in the back page of my Luach, they have a list of all the parashiyos. But it's Baruch Hashem, there's a city of Winnipeg, which I've never been in, and really I don't have to worry about the calendar for the city of Winnipeg. So in the back of the Ezra's Torah Luach, on the last page, they have a calendar for the city of Winnipeg. So it lists all the parashas. So every time I finish a parasha, week by week, since Tov Shin Samach Aleph, I check it off. When the end of the year comes, the whole calendar is full of checks. And I have a collection of them upstairs. So now I have, this I think is the 16th calendar I'm going to have in that collection, since I actually started to keep a written record. It gives me tremendous momentum. I go up to the office and I see 16 calendars sitting on the, you know, 15 calendars, soon to be 16, but I'm sitting on the shelf. You know? Week by week, if we're a little persistent, then I say, listen, I actually accomplished something. Here it is in front of me. There's no question. I don't have a doubt. Did I? Didn't I? When? You know? There it is. I have a written record. It was tremendous momentum. A tremendous push. Yeah, I really did something. Look, it's here. No denying it. It's written out. So, that's what we need to start doing in Elo. It's to formulate a plan, practical plan, within grasp, and then be persistent. No matter what, not to let it fall by the wayside. When it's supposed to take place, it has to take place. There's a rov that I know, we'll end with this, in the Midwest. And he accepted upon, he's a busy man, very busy man. He accepted upon himself 2 hours a day, kviyas itim l'tara. But what did he do? I guess to make sure that he does it, it's 2 hours a day before shkia, before the sun sets. And wherever he is, if he hasn't learned, let's say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the sun's going to set at 5, he's on the highway, pulls off the highway, pulls onto the shoulder, takes out a sefer and sits there for the next 2 hours to learn. Dead tired? Doesn't make a difference. Stands by the shtender and learns for 2 hours. It's the persistence. It's something, doing something realistic. We keep a written record of it. And we are persistent. Those three yesodos will enable us to use Elul wisely and use the Yom and the Rom wisely and to accomplish significant things. You know, we need to look not from day to day, even from month to month. If we look back and we'll see, listen, where was I 5 years ago? Where am I now? We can see a significant difference. But that has to come about by the drudge work. Day by day by day by day, doing something realistic, making sure I do it. Keep a written record of it to give me chizuk. And you do not know how far that will go, how much momentum it will build up over time, and how far it will push us from little, little beginnings. What does the world say? That a march of 1,000 miles begins with 1 step. Again, I'm sorry that I was late. I was detained in a matter that I had to attend to.